What's up, my brothers and sisters? We have the pleasure today of sitting down with one of my good friends, Brian Veda. And Brian is a 12-year veteran of the Phoenix Fire Department, and he is also a CrossFit coach and a self-proclaimed health nut. So he has lots of great ideas about how we can strengthen our bodies and strengthen our minds, make ourselves more capable and ready to serve our customers, how to better fuel our bodies, better nutrition, etc. So it's a great conversation. I hope you stay tuned in and let's give it a listen. Welcome to the Fireground Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Rain Gray. Here, we're going to talk about all things pertaining to life on and off the fireground. The opinions expressed are mine and those of the guest. So let's get started. Brian Veda, welcome to the Fireground Fitness Podcast. You and I met at Station 39 back in, I want to say it was in 07 or late 07, early 08.
Yeah, I think it was early 08 because I remember I got off probation in 07 and went roving, and it was actually one of the stations I was waiting to hit because I never met you before then, but I followed your website. And it was, and I was just getting into this CrossFit thing that was kind of taking off over the fire department, and I didn't know anything about it, but I did follow your website, and another guy on the job had a website as well, and I would just get on there all the time and look at workouts and look at movements, and I remember roving into that first day, and I'm like, yes.
Well, that I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So what's interesting to me, and Fireground Fitness was, I was stumbling across all this great information, and I'm like, you know, CrossFit was wonderful. However, I felt like, I'm like, how can we incorporate this with firefighter movements? How can we incorporate this with skills courses and things like that? And work it around the equipment that was in our gym at the station and things that we had available to us. So for me, that was why I was putting that information out there. And if you go to firegroundfitness.com, you can see this archive of old information. This may sound kind of funny to you because I don't know if we've ever had this conversation, but it makes me so proud that you stumbled across 39, stumbled across Fireground Fitness, and then went off and built an empire, so to speak, where you're sharing this information that you've developed over the years with the broad community, the greater community out there. So talk to me about your journey, like how you did that. You came to 39 and you're kind of building you're just learning these skill sets what happened?
You know, it was all new movements for me. So I've always been active. I think I had my first gym membership when I was 13 years old to a Bally's. But it was the traditional machines. A lot of, back then especially, it was just, you know, hey, I'm going to do a leg extension machine, and maybe I'll do the pec deck, and, you know, maybe I'll run on the treadmill for a little bit. But, you know, as I started roving towards the end of probation, you know, you hear about this CrossFit and functional movement and how firemen are doing it and how it's, you know, going to make us more fit for our job. So I had a little spark and a little bit of knowledge about it, and the research through your websites, through Scott Pauley's website, through the CrossFit main site, you know, was just starting to fuel that fire a little bit. And then roved into 39 that day. I remember we worked on some snatch stuff, which I've never done before. We did a little skills course, and it was awesome. You know, I remember that was the first time I saw bumper plates. Oh, yeah. You know, multiple kettlebells. You know, and it was, you know, it was out in the bay. It was hot. It was awesome. I'm like, I love it. And that was pretty much it.
That was one of my favorite things about training at 39 was it was just an absolute jungle gym.
Yeah. You know?
Garage, just a total dirty, nasty jailhouse garage gym.
It's all you need, though. It's all you need.
We had
weights, kettlebells. I remember boxes. You had like a slosh pipes and PVC
pipes.
Oh,
yeah, the slosh pipe.
Yeah, it was awesome. That pretty much got me started, really, because that was the first time I did any CrossFit with someone who's, you know, who had experience doing it. You know, I was always looking at videos online and trying it myself and struggled.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. What was the, how many years did you have on the job at that point?
Just over a year. I mean, maybe a year and a couple months.
Oh yeah, man.
I was brand new.
Yeah. Like a baby deer. Well, that's really cool to me that you were at that point in your career, because it really is. It took me years before I figured out I was running marathons and doing all this long distance stuff, which I still do, but I was doing it, you know, it made me weaker the way I was doing it. And when I stumbled across CrossFit and started kind of coming up with my own personal programming for that, I began to realize, like, hey, there's, you can do those things and be strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for this job, you need to be strong. So how do you balance that out? Your recreation, your fun, your mountain biking, your endurance athletics with that strength training is so important to me. So it was really, I'm glad you found that early in your career.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest aspects of that style of training, the CrossFit functional movement, is that, you know, back when I, you know, my younger days, it's like, hey, you want to be a powerlifter? You want to be strong, you be a powerlifter. You want to be fast, you be an endurance, you know, a runner, an endurance athlete, and you can't do both. Well, we've learned over the years you can. You can be fast. You can be strong. You could be, you know, you have gymnastic skills. You can be fit in all, you know, different aspects of it, and, you know, continue that as you get older.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love it because it breaks up the monotony. I couldn't imagine just going out and running every single day. And we'll go run 2-3 miles a day, and then do it again tomorrow, and then do it again the next day.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting is that's where I found myself was doing these, you know, I would do 30 hours a week of endurance training, and I was getting, as I got older, because I was probably in my mid 30s at that point, I was getting fatter and slower and unhealthy. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And how I stumbled across CrossFit was I started saying, hey, okay, I got to do something different. I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go back to the day when I was as fit as I could be, which was when I was in the Marine Corps, right? Pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups. That was when I was as strong as I could possibly be. So I'm going to go back to that thing. And so I started doing that. And then I got on the internet. So what other stuff is out there that we can be involved in? And that's when I stumbled across CrossFit. And I'm like, how do I? And there was another one out there, Jim Jones. Yep. And then I think it was a Mountain Athlete was another one that was burgeoning at that time. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to come up with my own milking of this and kind of my own version of it that involves skills courses, right? And firefighter equipment and things like that. I'm like, you know, do the job, right? Work hardening. So for you, what were you doing before that for fitness?
The traditional, hey, let's go in there, maybe we'll do some bench press, still do some lat pull downs. We didn't really know. I didn't have a really understanding of what functional movement meant.
Right.
You know, and yeah, which is weird now because, you know, that's all I think about is functional movement. I mean, even if it's going to be more of a functional bodybuilding style, doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it's still, we incorporate in that functional aspect of it, but just your traditional, hey, I'll go in, you know, especially as a rover, look in the gym. What do they have in here? Oh, they got, you know, they got the pec deck. They got a leg press, leg extension. I'm like, nah, we'll do something with that today. We might do some running, some treadmill stuff, whatever, you know, hop on the spin bike. A little bit of just not really, never any plan either. I just kind of walk in and just, what do I feel like today? Let's do this. Let's do that.
That's an interesting thing is this idea that there's no plan in place. And I would submit to you that for any course of action that you're going to do in your life, you have to have a plan if you want to be successful, no matter what it is. And in particular, if you're building something, you wouldn't build a house without a plan.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Right? You gotta have an end state and a pathway to get there. Right? What's the order you're gonna build this in? And I think with fitness, it's in particular, it's very important that you have that. And if you know the bodybuilding thing, I think we all kind of came from the standard bodybuilding model.
Yeah.
Right, which we're just gonna do split days, split routine,
back and buys, chest and tries.
Exactly.
I mean, you can never mix those days.
No, heaven forbid. No, it's not good.
Once a week only.
Yeah, and that does garner results.
Yeah,
but it's not applicable.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I used to be, especially when I was in the first few years of CrossFit, and I was kind of like, hey, it's CrossFit or nothing. You know, it has to be CrossFit because it was so effective, and I saw the results firsthand with myself, with people I was working out with. And now, you know, I still do CrossFit. It's always going to be my, you know, the way I train. But if you're moving and you're exercising, awesome, keep it up. You know, and I want to encourage more people to do more functional movements. But as long as they're in the gym getting it on, cool. At least that's a start. You know.
Yeah. Speaking of function, I think about how is, you know. These different modalities of training, right? Strength training, powerlifting, explosive move, Olympic movements, et cetera. How are those helpful on the fire ground? And you know, quite frankly, how are they helpful across any domain of our life? I remember I talked to my wife one day, and as a side note, training your wife,
very hard. Oh, yeah. Right? Being your wife's coach, not a good idea. I've been worked as a trainer for, gosh, so many years. And the one thing that I've never been able to do is properly train my wife.
No, same way. Well, we struggle, but usually we end up just screwing around and laughing too much. I can't concentrate.
I wish that was the problem. My wife's like, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And so the reason I brought that up, we talk about functional movement. Well, we're in the garage. I'm like, no, we need to do clean and press. And she's like, no, why? Why do I need to do that? I don't need to do that. And I'm like, listen, someday you may have to put something on this shelf up here and you have to take it from the ground to your shoulder level and then push it overhead and put it up on the shelf. And she says, well, that's why I married you.
Dang it.
So I'm like, woman, stop that.
Good point.
fair enough. So let me ask you, so as a personal trainer, I found myself doing a lot of handholding, and it was, it got to a point where I'm like, I can't do this. And when I was training at the station, I would find guys come in who were highly motivated, and the ones who weren't highly motivated, I would try to encourage them, or I would just be like, all right, well, do your own thing, and I would move on. Right. But it was so exciting to have people who wanted to train. So let me ask you, when you started down the path of owning your own gym, what drew you down that path? What pulled you that way?
Really, was getting my wife into it. I was doing CrossFit for almost 4 years. About that point, I started in early 2008, just finding it. We opened in 2012, so about 4 years, but it took until I got her into it and actually kind of teaching her some of the movements, and she saw the results too. She didn't grow up, playing sports, being athletic at all, and didn't really enjoy working out whatsoever. I don't think she ever worked out a day before that. So getting her into CrossFit, showing her how it works, and then herself seeing the results, she's like, this is it. She's like, we need to share this. We want to share what we've learned with as many people as we can.
Let me go back a little bit here too. I think you, not only did your wife not work out, I think you told me at one point that she was a smoker.
Oh yeah.
So
20 year almost smoker. Yeah.
Really?
She quit twice when we had each kid.
Yeah.
And that was it. Wow. And, well, she never started up after Cameron was born. And that was what got her back into CrossFit was, she had another C-section. So once she was cleared to work out, she's like, okay, I'll give it a try. She was going to try it for a month or two and then just stop just to lose the baby weight. Mm. And she never stopped. And still does it. Last night, she was in the garage gym at 8 o'clock at night because she had a busy day working out. And it was awesome. So seeing someone who was, didn't eat very healthy, smoked, drank, to I'm going to go in the gym at 8 o'clock at night and work out by herself, no one around, just to get it done because she loves it that much.
Right. That's awesome.
It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you guys, so before you opened your gym, weren't you guys doing some training in the park?
Yeah, we actually did some park was out here in Verado. We had a little park right down the road, and we would just, I didn't have a lot of equipment. I had a couple of real small kettlebells, and we would take those sometimes, but if not, it was just body weight stuff. And the cool thing about the park, there's always something to jump on. There's always something to run around. You can always do burpees, squats, sit-ups, push-ups. So you don't need a lot of equipment. So we would do it. We'd invite some of our friends, some of the neighbors out, and just do some stuff in the park,
awesome.
Which is cool because you see a lot of, the early CrossFit days, that's how a lot of gyms started. Started off in the parks, and as they grew, then they would go find a space, and then they would buy equipment. So you could do a lot just with your body.
I think that's really under-considered, that people, this barrier to fitness is, I have to have a gym membership, or I have to have a certain amount of equipment, or I have to have certain special programming, I have to have a trainer that's going to tell me I got to do these things. And the reality is, you just start moving, right? The information on the internet is freaking, you could spend months just trolling through stuff, trying to figure out where to start. But if you leave your house and you go for a walk, and at the end of your walk, you do some squats and you do some push-ups, like, you have broken the barrier to getting into fitness.
You're moving. You're moving. It's functional movement. One of my favorite ones was, hey, you see that light pole? I'm going to walk to that light pole. Then I'm going to run to the next light pole as far as I can. Yeah. Then I'm going to walk to the next light pole. You just do it around the neighborhood.
Yeah. What if you don't have light poles?
I'm going to go to that house. I'm going to go to the end of the street and back. Just easy.
Yeah. I'll do that in the desert. So when I do a lot of long distance running still. And I will say, I'm going to run to that rocky outcropping, or I'm going to run to that tree, or I'm going to, you know, same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the fartlek model.
Yeah.
And you can do it anywhere.
Yep. You don't, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah.
It's just getting out and moving.
Yeah. That's the great start. So I love that. I love that your journey started, you know, with your family, started in the park right here, you know,
yeah,
next to your house. It's so cool to me that it was so simple and it was just so easy. And then you guys went off and, you know, your wife was hook, line, sinker.
Yeah.
And so, and she's got what, a marketing background?
Yeah. She's got an MBA. She did real estate, 14th year, maybe 13th or 14th year doing real estate as well. So she's always been in that business background. Yeah. We both worked at Budweiser for years in the marketing department.
There you guys met?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Worked at Budweiser together, doing special events, and that was it.
Right on. That's awesome. I just have a vision of you just standing there, you know, with a kiosk and you're being that model with your little Speedo on.
No, not at all. No, hey, we need some kegs moved over here. Okay, I'll do that. We need to climb the top of a ladder and hang a banner. That's what I can do.
Okay, well, all right. That's how your
revision, my OCD kicks your revisionist in. And it's going to be history, very straight.
I'm pretty sure you were a model, but whatever. special events model. So let me ask you this. What are some of the things that are, if you were to do a handful of movements and you didn't have a lot of equipment, or you had just you were going to get just the bare necessities, what do you think are some of the, for firefighters, just the fundamental principles, the fundamental movements that you would recommend?
You know, as today is probably different than it would have been a year ago. You know, a year ago it was in barbell. You know, something with a barbell that you can do, you know, thrusters with, clean and jerks, deadlifts, and you know, the more I progress into my fitness journey, the more I've been using dumbbells and kettlebells as well. You know, I like them. They're smaller. You can take them anywhere. We go to Mexico a couple times a year. I always take kettlebells with me. I throw them in the truck. I take them down to the beach and do a workout. So, you know, I mean, ideally, if you could have a couple of dumbbells and kettlebells light, you could do it. There is a ton of stuff you could do with them, from thrusters to deadlifts to push presses, swings, clean and jerks with dumbbells or kettlebells. You can move different planes. You can run with them. You can pick them up and just carry them. So I love that. I do. That being said, I still love the barbell work. I got into it later in life. You saw my first attempting at snatching, you know, with maybe a 10 on each side, and it was ugly. The bar swung out 4 feet in front of me.
In your defense, everyone starts there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I got to see that firsthand in the gym for years. It's like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. I was right there, but I struggled with it. So I didn't do a lot of barbell lifting prior to finding CrossFit. I was just intimidated like everyone else is in the gym. I'll stick to the machines because I know it's probably not going to hurt me.
Right.
And now I love the barbell stuff. I love clean jerks. I love snatching. I think squatting is tremendous. You know, whether it's a barbell back squat, whether it's air squats, whether it's picking up, you know, if you don't have anything, if you're on a run, you see, you know, a brick or a rock, pick it up and hold it, do some squats. If you look at it from an aspect of, from longevity, from not just lifespan, but health span, I want to be healthy. If you look what gets people into nursing homes as we get older, it's the loss of functional movement. So squat, if you can't get off the toilet, you can't do a squat, you're going to be in a nursing home. If you can't fall down, get yourself up, which is basically a burpee, you know, you're going to be in a nursing home. If something drops to the ground and you can't pick it up, you can't deadlift, you know, those are the things we see as people get older. So functional movement is always going to be my go-to, whether it's equipment or no equipment, picking stuff off the ground, carrying it, running with it, doesn't matter. As long as you're in those, you know, multi-joint compound movements, whole body stuff. I don't do a lot of isolation stuff. I think I do curls a couple times a year, just if I'm bored. And usually at the fire station, something up, I'll do a couple curls real quick.
I think that there's nothing wrong with doing curls as long as they're an accessory exercise.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's an add-on to whatever it is you've done. Like you said the word multi-joint movement, and I think that is such an important part of having capacity. I think it was Dan John. He was a throwing coach back in the day. And turn strength coach. And one of the things that he had his athletes do, so they were throwers, like discus and shot put guys.
Strong guys.
Yeah. But fast, right? Super explosive. And one of the things that he talked about as a mechanism was early in the season, before he ever let him pick up an implement for throwing, he would make him do overhead squats. And they had to overhead squat their body weight for 15 repetitions, I believe was his metric. And if you couldn't overhead squat, your body weight, 15 reps, you wouldn't get it, you wouldn't pick up a discus. And I thought, man, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm reading the article he put out, and he talked about the connectedness between the upper body and the lower body. He goes, try and do a bench press, and I'm going to stab you in the leg with a fork. Watch how quickly you drop the bar, right? Like that connectedness between, for the purpose of movement. And so you think about on the fire ground, you know, if you're working with a pike pole overhead, you have to, you're standing on, like there's been times I've been inside of a hoarder house and I'm standing on like an unstable platform, essentially slipping around on all kinds of garbage.
Yep, everything's wet.
Yeah. Everything's wet and slippery. And then I'm trying to work with my head tilted back and I'm looking up. It's a very unstable environment.
Absolutely.
And so having the connectedness between the upper and lower body, talk about doing an overhead squat, having this weight suspended overhead and being able to balance that and then being able to move while you're doing that is so important. For the job. And then we talk about injury prevention, right? If you're not doing that kind of training and then you find yourself in this strange position, you run the risk of injury. You know, like it's a setup for injury.
Absolutely.
And how many neck and back injuries do we know?
Oh yeah. Neck, right? Back and knees, shoulders, you know, and mm-hmm. I've, especially as I get older, the guys at work get frustrated because we don't work out and I'll take 30 to 40 minutes before I'm loading a barbell. I mean, it's a good 5-minute warm up. I want to be sweating. I want to be moving. I'm doing some mobility work. I'm the old man that's going to take a long time to warm up. But over 12 and a half years of being on the job, I've never been on, you know, never had to go to light duty. I've never been injured. I've never had a surgery, and I take pride in that. And not saying that can't happen, but I'm going
to
do everything.
You better find a piece of wood to knock that real quick.
Everything in my power to make, you know, my body as strong and stable in different positions so I can minimize that risk.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever have to go to, you know, be off the truck. I love being on the fire truck. I love hanging out with the guys at the station and being able to, you know, if I want to go on a hike, go on a hike. If I want to go hike, you know, climb a building, do that. Whatever I want to do, I want to have that ability to do it.
That's exactly right. I've always said that, you know, as I age, the thing that is important to me is my ability to continue to do, first and foremost, be able to go to work, climb up and down off the fire truck and do all the things that are required of me at work, right?
Yep.
You know, I never want my fitness to be the limiting factor in getting something done, right? Particularly a rescue or something of that nature, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be held back by a lack of capacity.
Yeah.
And then I think about longevity and my ability to grow old gracefully, right? And I always say, you know, I want to crawl around on the ground with my grandkids, right? I want to be able to get down on the ground, get up off the ground, go play, run around, go hike with them, go take them backpacking,
yep,
and do all the stuff I do with my children. I want to do it with my grandkids as well. There's no reason I shouldn't do that. And heaven forbid it's fitness that keeps me from doing that, like because I didn't train.
Exactly. I couldn't look at myself. I couldn't live with myself if I did that, you know. And
yeah,
like I mentioned, it's not lifespan, it's health span. I want to live to be 120 years old, but I want to be an active 120. I want to be able to go on walks, and I want to be able to, I'm not going to be in a nursing home.
Yeah, 120 is no good if you're just sick and you're getting by, right? Like, we've all seen those folks that are metabolically unhealthy, and you go, oof, I do not want to be miserable as I grow old.
Yep.
What's the point?
Exactly.
You can't enjoy all the wisdom you gained all these over these years if you're beat down and miserable. So speaking of that, so eventually, and I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but I'm going to open it up. You got to a point where you guys sold the gym.
Yep.
So what was your thoughts for getting out of that?
We loved it. It was a lot of fun. We met some amazing people. I feel like we changed some lives. It was the stuff that the relationships that people made from the gym. We've had people get married that met at the gym. Babies were born at that gym. Businesses were created at that gym.
Not in the gym.
Not in the gym. No, okay. Not in the gym. Well, close. We've had a couple of people give birth after leaving the gym after a certain wall. A couple of ladies, you know, we did a Karen one day, 150 wall balls. I think that worked a couple of times to put women in labor.
And
within
off,
the next day, and the babies are out. So, you know, if your wife's pregnant or if you're pregnant and you need that baby out, just do some wall balls.
There you go.
But 6 years of, you know, being a full-time firefighter and running that gym on my days off, it just, you know, my wife, you know, was amazing. She ran that. She ran the back end. She did the billing. She did the majority of the work of that gym. I pretty much just got the crews in there and coach. You know, I would clean the floors. I would work out, kind of hang out, do the social stuff. But, you know, we have two kids. Colton's 12, Cameron's 7. They're getting older. They're getting, you know, they both have activities and sports multiple days a week. And it was just getting to that point where it's like, man, I don't want to miss any more of them growing up. We lived across the street from the gym. And even if I wasn't coaching in the afternoon, I was there because that was our busy time. Something would always come up. Hey, a new person came in. You're giving them, you know, showing them around. Or you're explaining CrossFit to them, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's been 3 hours. I should probably go home now. You know, so I was just, right. I was missing too much of the home with the kids, and you know, they loved it. They sometimes they still be like, Dad, I miss the gym. I'm like, I do too, because they grew up in there. Cameron, that's all she knew. Right. You know, we have pictures of her at 1 year old sleeping on the floor.
Right.
Colton was the same way. He got an Olympic weightlifting, and he loved those weightlifters. He would hang out there for hours with them. He would work out and just hang out with them. And it was awesome. But it just, you know, it was this time, really. You know, I was just, I think my daughter was six when we sold the gym, and she didn't know how to ride a bike. And I'm like, I'm a failure. Every afternoon when she gets home from school, I'm at the gym. So within selling the gym, within 2 weeks of moving back, boom, she was off the training wheels, taught her to ride a bike. We go on bike rides multiple times a week. So it wasn't anything gym-wise. It was more of just prioritizing family over
right.
it.
Right. Well, it's interesting that sometimes we invest ourselves in something which is a good thing. However, even, you know, too much of a good thing is still too much.
Yep.
And I think that is, it's important that we find that, we strike that right balance. So it's about priorities, and it's about, you know, like you guys went down that venture, had some success, and you're like, oh, what's more important right now?
Yep.
I think that's really smart.
You know, and a lot of it came a year before we sold the gym. Close to a year. We lost a guy at a job. Captain Fitzmaurice died off duty.
Yeah.
And at his funeral, you know, I booted at Station 20 when he was there. And, you know, at his funeral, they talked. It wasn't about how great of a fire captain he was and great, you know, firefighter. It was how he was a dad, how he was a husband, how his daughters looked up to him. It was in that. That's where I'm like, man, I think I'm off a little bit. You know, I need to refocus my life on the family and the kids. And that was really when that ball started rolling. It was after that funeral. I left. I felt like a loser. I felt like a failure. I'm like, wow. You know, so that kind of got the wheels spinning, and that's kind of when we started planning of, you know, maybe it's time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to walk away.
You know, it's you bring up a really good point. And this idea that, you know, success in one venue cannot necessarily outpace a failure in another area of your life. And when you think about that, you know, we just talked about this just a few minutes ago, which was the idea that I want to crawl around the floor with my grandchildren. I want to be able to do those activities with my kids and my grandchildren. And so if you have all this success, but you don't have a relationship with your kids, what have you gained, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a really important point. And I think, you know, the end of all of this life, right, regardless of what you believe, I think the only thing you take with you is what's in your heart and what's in your head. Right, all the other trappings of the world are really interesting at that point.
Yeah, and then you just leave your legacy. You know, that's my kids, and you know, and I couldn't keep focusing on the gym, knowing, you know, and once that happened, once I made that decision in my head, I could tell my focus at the gym wasn't, and when I was there, I wasn't as present and I wasn't as dedicated as I should have been too. So,
because
in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm missing this, I'm missing that, I'm like, you know. So, when I was at the gym, I was getting short-tempered. I was getting a little cranky, a little burnt out. So it was, I knew right then, I'm like, it's time.
Nice.
It's not going to go well.
No, that's,
keep that up.
Man, no, that's okay, man. It's smart. I think it's smart to evaluate, because sometimes we get caught up in the fact that we're having success and we feel like that's the pinnacle of life, is we're making money, we're successful, we're happy with what we're doing, but we're not, but you have to constantly challenge that paradigm. And I think you know, you're doing the right thing there, because emotional and physical, you know, the physical happiness and the emotional happiness are tied together. And so if you're headed down a path where that happiness is going away, you know, the thing that made you happy is now starting to suck the life out of you.
Yep.
What good is that?
Exactly. You know? Yeah, it was putting strain on my marriage, the relationship with my kids, the relationship with my, you know, my members at my gym, my coaches, my athletes. It's just,
right.
Yeah. I'm glad, you know, I mean, I do miss some of the aspects. I miss the people especially. Mm-hmm. But it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's smart, man. And it's the, well, that's good. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you did that for your own sake and made some good decisions there, you know, because eventually you could have run it right into the ground. And then
and it would have, absolutely. I mean, I felt myself snapping and getting angry sometimes over, you know, silly things, over, you know, someone not reaching depth on their squat, and I'm yelling from across the gym. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, I'm not even coaching the class. You know, I have no business, you know, just because I own the gym. I'm not, you know, I don't treat people that way. And I'm like, I knew it was time. A lot of red flags
growing
up. My temper, just not being a good husband, father. So it was time.
So your littlest is riding her bike now.
Oh yeah.
What other things are you guys getting into?
You know, we moved back to our old neighborhood. It's a little master plan community. It's amazing. We call it the island because when we come out here, I don't want to leave. You know, my 2 days off work, we usually stay out here. We ride bikes 3 or 4 times a week. Cameron, she does CrossFit Kids at CrossFit Fury out in Goodyear.
Oh.
So we go there twice a week. She starts swim team next week, so she's pretty active in Girl Scouts, which is fun. Fun for me. And then my boy Colton, he's the Olympic weightlifter. He was really getting Olympic weightlifting when we had the gym. He was still doing it when we moved back home here, but he broke his wrist riding his bike. So he's been out of commission for almost 6 months now. He broke his scaphoid bone on his wrist, and it's a really bad break, taking a long time to heal. And he was an active kid. I want my kids to be active, but I'm not going to force, hey, you're going to do football this year. Pick something. As long as you're active. So he's done every sport there is. He's done football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, swimming. He does it all. You know, he really likes wrestling. We'd started doing jiu-jitsu before he got hurt. So he's pretty active, and he should be back to full status here really soon. He's down to a brace. His cast is off. So he wants to get back into Olympic weightlifting and getting ready for football. He's in he's getting 7th grade right now, so he's getting ready to start getting that tackle football bug. So he's really into that. So that's our next phase of training.
Skip that noise, man. He needs to just wrestle.
Yeah, we did wrestling last year in Peoria, and he loved it. So when we moved out here, we got him into jiu-jitsu, which he loved, and then he's just been out of commission for a while. It sucks to see because he's such an active kid. He likes to be out doing stuff. So hopefully that's all coming right back.
Right. Well, it sounds like what you described to me earlier when we were talking before we hit record was he's still pretty active.
Oh, yeah.
He's still out
there. We were in the gym last night working out with one arm. So I had him doing some one-arm dumbbell stuff with his good arm, and he can still do the salt bike and row.
Yeah.
So we actually made him do some sprints the other week, him and his friend. And then last night I let him do a nice 20 minutes at about 65-70%. I go, hey, you guys should be able to talk to each other when you're working out. Put Office on TV for him, and they just watched an episode of The Office, and they were on the bike and the rower back and forth.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's still active. He's just not where he wants to be.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful as a parent. You know, it sounds like you're managing it pretty well. When my daughter, she broke her arm riding her bicycle. She was probably, 7 or 8. And she's got her hand, her forearm is, you know, she got a little green stick break, and her hand's wrapped up in a cute little pink cast. And, she's been in the cast for a few weeks, and I said, hey, let's go ride bikes. Oh, I'm not. The doctor said I'm not allowed to ride bicycles. And I'm like, come on, man. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And we go out for a little bike ride. You can probably see where this is headed.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Just based on what I'm telling you. So we go out for a little bike ride, and we're coming up to a gate. And instead of her, hitting the brakes and slowing down, she panics and crashes her bike and breaks her other hand. Her brother.
Oh.
So I have the pleasure of taking her back to the ER that we went to the first time. And now her other hand is broken. Her other wrist is broken. And they x-ray her and they bind her up. And as they're putting the cast on, the guy, the tech who wrapped her first arm up, her left arm, is giving me the biggest evil eye. So, Dad, what happened? I go, well, we went bike riding. Oh, really? I thought bike riding was prohibited when she had a cast on her arm. I go, yeah, well, boy, I felt like such a jerk. And my poor little daughter, now she's got a blue cast on one arm and a pink cast on the other.
Ensured no bike ride for a while.
Yeah, parenting fail of the biggest, the highest order right there. So, anyway. At least, my daughter was the one who's like, no, Dad, I'm not supposed to do that. Nah, come on. You got this. Let's go. Let's go play.
Toughen up.
Let's go play. And got me in big trouble.
Oh, I bet. Oh.
My wife, to this day, my daughter's off to college now. Her arms are all healed up.
I don't know if I would have came home for a while. My wife would have kicked my butt.
I was not in good graces with anybody in the household at that time. My son was the only person who talked to me. But. So now that you're this, I think it's, I hadn't seen you in a while, and I ran into you of all places in the jiu-jitsu gym.
Yep.
And so it was exciting for me to see you. You know, you had sold the gym, and now you're moving on in your life. You're doing some other things. You have some more time on your hands. And here I stumble across you, and now we're training jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
And it was wonderful. So how did you come by doing jits?
You know, it was something for the last couple of years I've wanted to do. I've seen some videos, and I've heard, you know, guys like Joe Rogan talk about it. I'm like, this seems kind of cool. I'm like, but I didn't grow up playing. I grew up playing baseball and soccer. That was it. I never wrestled, never played football, anything where I would get hurt. That, and as I grew older, I'm like, I don't have the time. Like, you know, I'm old. I don't want to get hurt. Once I sold the gym, I'm like, I got a bunch of time on my hands. I'm like, and what it was I promised Colton. I said, hey, you know, when we move, you know, we'll get something. Because he always wanted jiu-jitsu. He like loved wrestling. So I'm like, we'll get into it, buddy. And I figured he'd probably just forget, or he would just, you know, being a typical 11-year-old, 12-year-old, his focus would be somewhere else.
Yeah,
as soon as
bright
we moved,
and shiny.
As soon as we moved, Dad, do you find a gym yet for us to go train at? I'm like, oh, all right. So made some phone calls, asked some guys on the job who I knew who trained, and they pointed me over to Phoenix BJJ, and we took him in. We did the week trial and signed him up, and then unfortunately he got hurt, so I kept going, and I love it. Absolutely love it. It's been about 6 months now. I try to go 4 to 5 times a week. It's, you know, for different analogies, it's like learning a foreign language. It's like trying to solve a 200-pound Rubik's Cube that's fighting back. It's just, it's
that's a great
new
one. I haven't heard that analogy. Yeah, I like that one.
It's a new challenge.
Yeah.
And it makes, you know, when you're on that mat, you can't think about anything else. You know, you're not going to think about, hey, you know, what do I got going on today? What, you know, the bad night at work, or, you know, the argument with the wife. You have nothing else to think about, because, you know, if your focus isn't there, you're going to get choked. You're going to tap it. You're going to lose.
Right.
So all your focus are there. So it's a great stress relief. But for me, it's just another way to, it's just something for me to learn. And, you know, I've been doing CrossFit for 10 years now, and I'm not great. Like, I'm not going to go to the CrossFit games. I'm not a regional athlete, but I do decent for a 40-year-old man. And then I go in the jiu-jitsu gym, and I just get humbled. I mean, I got guys that are 40, 50 pounds lighter than me that'll just twist me up like a pretzel.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I love that challenge. I love the aspect of I suck at something, and I don't like to suck at it, and I want to get better at it. So it's a challenge that way. It's physically tough. And it's a chance for me to, you know, hey, I've been training hard for 10 years. I mean, is this applicable to fighting? Is it different? Is it going to help me in yes and no? I mean, I get it pounded into my head over and over and over by Omar. It's like, hey, stop using your strength. Stop pushing you. It's all about technique. And yeah.
There's almost a shame cycle. Oh, yeah. Wow. That was really good. You got out of that, but you used strength. You're like, ah, dang.
Yep. It's like, dang it. So I absolutely love jiu-jitsu. It's been, like I said, 6 months now. I'm still in the I get my butt kicked every day phase, but I'm starting to pick up some stuff. I'm starting to recognize situations, starting to learn. When I walked in there, I didn't know what a guard was. What is this guard you speak of?
Right.
You know, what? Right. How do we start? Do I start standing? You know, I didn't know anything.
Right.
You know, it's not like CrossFit where or at least our gym doesn't have like an intro class. It's, hey, you just jump in the class today.
Right.
Oh, reverse daily heave. I'm like, huh?
Right.
No idea. So, right. You know, it's definitely a challenge, but I absolutely love it. Like, I'm slightly obsessed with it. I Fire Station, I'm watching videos on, you know, back takes and different chokes and how to get out stuff and passing guard, and I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love it.
I think one of the things I really enjoy about jiu-jitsu is the head game, right? The mental aspect of it, and recognizing that the humility that you have to have, right? Recognizing that at any given point, somebody could get an advantage on you and capitalize on that advantage and, you know, take you right to the threshold of death, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to humble yourself and tap and physically say, okay, I am beat right now. And that's a really, I think it's an important part of growth, personal growth, right? And while it's super physical, and there's also that mental game where you're recognizing that we have limitations and that you have to work through those limitations. So I love being able to have that physical manifestation of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, realizing that I remember wrestling with some guys that are literally 120 pounds, And I'm like, it's like, and you know, it's got like a spider monkey on my back. Like I, and he's all over the place. He's moving so fast and moving with such precision, knows exactly where he's going to go, knows exactly how he's going to get there, sees what I'm going to do five moves ahead of me, and beats and meets me when I get there.
Yeah.
With the counter.
Yep.
Is really, really fun and engaging.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, it's humbling. You gotta leave your ego at the door. You right. walk in there thinking you're tough, you know, tough shit. You're gonna get hurt. You're gonna get humbled yeah. really fast.
Yeah.
You know, another aspect I love about it is that for what we do, I've actually used it twice now on calls, and you know, in our you know in our line of work, we're gonna deal with people who are altered states, whether it's due to low blood sugar, whether it's due to drugs and alcohol. You know, sometimes they get physically violent, whether they're attacking us. And I've had a couple, you know, couple situations where I've got to use jiu-jitsu, and we don't want to hurt anybody out there. I don't want to, you know, we've got five guys in our truck. You know, first of all, we don't want to hurt anybody. But second of all, you know, it doesn't look good if five guys jump on a guy and they're trying to punch and kick and, you know, hold a guy down.
Right.
We had a guy come up and start kicking, and I was able just to slide him out real quick on him. One guy by myself, talk to him, keep him contained. We started an IV. We actually got him under control, and he was good to go by the end of the call. Took him to the hospital, no issues. You know, it kept my, you know, kept him safe, the patient, but more importantly, it kept my crew safe. Nobody got kicked. Nobody got punched, you know, and
right.
unfortunately it does happen in our line of work, but learning the, you know, the very, very, very little bit I know about jiu-jitsu that I've learned in 6 months is enough to, you know, control some people. And yeah. like I said, it's one, it's me on top of them, you well, know, controlling them.
It's interesting you bring that up because when you talked about when you first walked into class, right? For those who can't see you right now, you are a physical specimen. And I don't know if you would couch it that way, but I see that in you, right? You're very physically fit and you're strong. And yet, right, you got humbled by somebody who had some more jiu-jitsu than you. And so you go in to a call where someone's being nasty and you are put into a position where you have to contain them, right? Having a little bit of skill set far outpaces anything that they can bring to the table if they yeah. don't have any skills.
Yep.
Which is pretty, it's just this proof and concept right there is that you're able to exercise some jiu-jitsu right away with just a little bit of jiu-jitsu that you have.
Yeah. You know, and I've got 12 years on and I'm just turned 40. I'm the junior guy on my truck. I'm younger than anyone on my truck. I've got the least amount of time on there. And they're all actually my truck's really good. You know, all of our guys work out, we're in shape. It's still, though, we don't want to be getting into a fight on a call, ever. I mean,
right.
you know, sometimes it's going to be unavoidable. But first of all, like I said, we want to keep everyone safe and, you know, not hurt a patient ourselves. But with this day and age, everyone's got cell phones out and everyone's got cameras, and they're not going to see the whole story. They're not going to show when they kicked or punched one of our you know, one of the guys in our truck. They're just going to have the video of we're all jumping on them and beating them or holding them or choking them. So. Right. It mitigates that situation. It was just me on top, and actually, it was at it was the middle of downtown Phoenix where I work, and there was cameras everywhere. And the employee, we got thanked after the call for holding him down. Hey, you guys did great. Thank you for not hurting him. Thank you for keeping him right. safe, not letting him hurt himself. You know, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And I remember the next day I went to class, and I told my coach Corey, I'm like, you know, he's like, yeah, all cops and firemen should get at least, you know, like just 3 to 6 months of basic jiu-jitsu and just controlling somebody. And you would see a lot less of the horror stories you see on the news where, you know, police yeah. or firemen are beating people up.
If you don't have any skill set, all you're going to do is try to match the aggression with your own level of aggression.
Yeah.
And if you're not trained in any way, you have no idea how to wield that power. And, you know, in a group of grown adults, has a tremendous amount of power.
Yeah.
And you can actually hurt people pretty easily if you're not careful.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing and where the limitations are. So I think you're absolutely right. You have to have a level of training that allows you to be functional, which helps you stay safe for yourself, but also for other people.
Yep.
Right? Because if you go into a tussle with somebody and you don't have any skills and they throw you all over the place, you can get hurt real fast.
Yep.
But if you have some skill set, you understand leverage, you understand movement, you're safer, they're safer.
Yeah.
You know, the whole situation.
The scene can stay calm. You know, I was able right. to get on a guy in the mount and just talk to him. You know, I had one arm pinned down. My medic partner had the other arm starting an IV, and we were able to get under control, and the situation ended up perfect. You know, like I said, we got thanked for it. I was like, wow, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a very similar experience. Had a guy go ballistic on us, and my crew was in front of him, and I happened to be standing behind him. And I set my clipboard down and I slid in behind him He was sitting on the ground, and I put my hooks in, right? So I put my legs in over his legs and put a seatbelt on him, right? So I put my one arm under his left arm, and then my other arm went over the top of his shoulder, and I just snugged him into me, and then I had his ear, and I whispered into his ear, and I'm like, hey, let's be calm, let's calm down. I held him, was able to hold him until PD arrived, which was a gross amount of time. I don't want to get into it. It was a really long time for them to get there. But because I was able to contain him, you know, he didn't hurt himself. He didn't hurt any of my crew. And, you know, it turned out, we get him to the hospital, and it turned out that he was on methamphetamines and other drugs as well. And so he very well could have gotten out of control.
Yep, hurt somebody.
He could have turned into a fight, and it would have gotten ugly and stupid. And but was able to just contain him in a spot.
Yeah, and you're, you know, I've rolled with you, and you're, what, about 220 pounds right now? You know, and
probably a little heavier, but that's but right around there.
But yeah. You're obviously been doing jiu-jitsu for years. You know what you're doing, and you're very good at applying pressure. I've been on the receiving end of some of that pressure, and very uncomfortable. So I can just imagine that guy probably tried for a few seconds of squirming, and then he's like, yeah, this is not going to work, and I'm just going to, I'm stuck.
Yeah. What's interesting was he was not with it. Right. He was pretty out of it. And so, you know, I thought to myself, gosh, this guy is, he doesn't know what he's getting himself into. Right. The guy sees he was on drugs and completely out of his mind. And so, you know, instead of me getting angry and yelling at the guy and being mean and hurting him, I'm just going to contain him and not let him hurt himself and not let him hurt me or anybody else. Right. And then because I was able to maintain some good control, I was able to talk calmly to the people who were filming. And use this guy's name, and his name was Phil. I still remember. I'm like, hey, Phil, let's be calm. Don't hurt anybody. Don't hurt yourself. And meanwhile, people are filming us, and I'm watching them film us. And so we were able to put on a display of control and professionalism. And then when PD got there, they were able to, you know, easily contain him and then get him transported to the hospital where we, you know, let him get through his overdose.
And like I said, you just control them. You know, for people don't know that the seatbelt, it's not a choke. It's just a matter of controlling their torso. So, you know, he can still talk. He can still breathe. You're not putting him in any danger. And you're keeping everybody safe. I love hearing stories like that. I think more guys on the job should learn jiu-jitsu.
Well, you know what's interesting? I was talking to a friend who actually did a podcast with. I don't know if it'll come out before or after this one, but her name's Michelle, and she was a police officer, and she ended her career working in the Maryville district. And what's interesting is she's a 120 pound gal, right? Very small, but she made it a part of her professional standard was to stay fit and to train a martial art so that she had some skills to be able to manage herself when things went sideways. And I think that's it's important that we, from a professional development perspective, that we are doing things to help us be capable. And so this kind of takes it full circle, right? We talk about physical fitness. And, you know, I think it's great that for your whole entire career, you've been looking to develop yourself and to continue to build yourself. And then here you are in the latter aspect of your, you know, you've moved on in some of your training, you've kind of graduated into another thing, and you're adding another thing to your skill set. Because at the end of the day, your ability to perform on the job is contingent upon your preparation.
Yep. And I think of it more, like you said, preparation. I think it more of, I think jiu-jitsu is, first of all, it's fun, but I think of it as job training. I mean, you know, we're not going to go in a high-rise fire without training. You know, we train all the time at work on different aspects, whether it's EMS, whether it's fire stuff. You know, I think that's a very important part of training. I mean, it's those calls are few and far between where I'm going to have to physically contain someone, and I hope I don't do it. You know, I hope it's very, you know, very, I hope it's very rare, but I want to have that skill set there to be able to do it, just like we would when the big fire, you know, the Chase building or something, you know, 40-story building catching on fire. It's like, yeah, those are few and far between, but we need to be, that's what we need to be ready for. And right. I think it's just another aspect of training. You know, jiu-jitsu is, when I first got into it, I'm like, oh, this will be a good workout. And it's finally clicked that it's not a workout. It's training. It's a skill set. Like, I still CrossFit. I still lift weights outside of the jiu-jitsu gym. It's not, which is, you know, a whole other discussion with some of our, some, you know, different people have different thoughts on that, but I just think of it as just another way to better myself, make myself more prepared for the job and life in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's next? What's next for you?
I don't know. Keep training. I love, like I said, jiu-jitsu. My goal is four times a week in jiu-jitsu. I traveled for spring break, so I was out, and I just kind of just moved wrong last week and tweaked ribs, so I took this week off. I'll be back Monday, and my goal is four to five times a week in jiu-jitsu. Sometimes I sneak in 2 days because my daughter does CrossFit Kids in the same complex, so I'm over there anyways. I might as well go to second session in.
Why not?
I'm still, doing CrossFit functional movement training. I showed you my garage set up beforehand, bumper plates, kettlebells, dumbbells, a rower and a bike. That's all I need. I'm always going to – I don't think I could ever go back to the old back and buys, chest and tries days. And, like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just not my jam. I think the few times a year that I throw in some bicep curls or some tricep extensions, I get really bored. It usually lasts about 10 minutes, and it's an accessory movement after the fact, and I just get really bored. I'm like, all right, I'm done. So if that was my whole training, I probably would lose interest a little bit, which in some people, I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm not training for aesthetics. I'm training for, work capacity. I'm training to be fit at life, to be fit, to be the best fireman I can, be the best dad I can. You only get one body. I want to be the strongest, fastest, most fit I can be. That's my goal. It's always going to be functional movement. I'm always, not to brag, I PR'd my deadlift a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm 40. I'm like, I'm happy with that. I'm like, I don't care if I ever deadlift that heavy again, as long as I can still pick up moderately heavy loads, correctly and stay injury free. And all that kind of stuff. I want to be able to move, play with the kids, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Just be healthy.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm trying to think of the Ripito quote.
Strong people.
Yeah, talking about being more useful.
Strong people are harder to kill and more useful in general.
Exactly.
I love that quote.
I love it, right? And so, interestingly, I've never been a fast runner, and I run ridiculous ultra marathons, right? Which I do for fun, just recreational, right? And when I began training and lifting heavy and recognizing how important lifting heavy was, the interesting thing, I started reducing my run times, right? My long runs were never more than a couple hours, and I was doing more tempo work, more speed, faster, moderate distance runs. And then I would lift heavy and do power and more power movements, so Olympic lifts, et cetera. And my fastest 50 miler was when I was deadlifting my heaviest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, 50 miler, first of all, I don't want to drive 50 miles, so hats off to you for running 50 miles. But yeah, it's cool to see. Right. It goes back to that old mindset of, you can be, you don't have to be, focus on one aspect, a power lifter or a runner. You can do everything.
Right. You really can. And it just, it takes time to get there. My favorite aspect of that is I was still getting blitzed by super fast runners who were passing me all over the place. But I kept thinking to myself, man, I could pick you up and throw you off this cliff.
It is. You look at traditional, ultra marathoners, they're skinny, not a lot of muscle mass on them.
Right.
I mean, and I think that that's starting to shift. You're seeing more, like you found out through, CrossFit Endurance, the training, the more you weightlift, the faster you got. So you're seeing that kind of transfer over to the higher level.
Yeah, there's some connection there. And now I don't, from the elite level runner, I think there's a different level of training that has to happen, a different type of training. But for somebody who wants to be a well-rounded athlete, and particularly for firefighters and law enforcement officers, you have to be well-rounded to be bomb-proof and to be injury-proof.
Yeah.
And so that's where I kind of coming back to is this idea that, do you have to be able to run? Yes. Do you have to be able to run 50 miles? Hell no. But you definitely need to be able to move effectively. You need to be able to jump. You need to be able to climb up on things. You need to be able to lift, pick up heavy objects and move them. Right. Those are things that you have to be able to do, and you want to be able to do them effectively and without injury. And so you need to be able to contain people who are not pleasant sometimes. And we need to be able to do that safely.
Yep.
So.
And like I said, and staying injury free is, that's
right.
Especially as the older I get, that's my end game is just to be healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Being able to be able to do it again and again and again and then be able to do it for years to come. Now you got plenty of years left in your career and, like we said earlier, we're growing old and going to go play with our grandchildren, and that's a real function. I'll be able to go for a hike or go and recreate as an older adult. Once you have some time on your hands and you retire, you want to be able to go enjoy those retirement years, right?
Last week, I've gone out a little bit in the White Tanks where we live, and I'm like, I'm going to go hike up the Caterpillar Proving Grounds are out there, so I'm going to go hike top of that road.
Yeah.
And I just went out and just walked and hiked and ended up hiking for almost 3 hours. I got back there pretty far, and I'm like, right. Oh, I got to get back. It's almost time for the kids to get home, so I got to get home. I got to hustle back. So, yeah, I want to be able to do that stuff. I don't want right. to have to, oh, that looks fun, but I can't do it because, you know, I'm broken. I hurt my knees, you know, and yeah. I see some, unfortunately, some of the guys on the job have gotten that way over years, and I'm like, that's the biggest motivator for me is seeing those guys who struggle or, you know, who struggle with, you know, multiple knee surgeries or back pain where they struggle getting out of bed. You know, in the middle of the night, you see them just hobbling down to the fire truck. Like, whoa. And that's always in my head. That's my motivation right there.
The job will beat you down if you're not doing preventative maintenance.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, like I said, preventative maintenance is the perfect thing because it's usually not the big fire that gets our guys hurt. It's the stepping off the truck wrong or.
Right.
You know, carrying, pick up the box the wrong way or pick up a patient the wrong way. So the more we can do preventive maintenance-wise, strengthen our core, strengthen us in different planes of movement is going to keep us healthier in those situations at 2 in the morning when we're cold. You know, when our bodies are stiff, we wake up in the middle of the night to get, you know, pick somebody up. That's when I don't want to get hurt.
Exactly.
I think those calls scare me more than the fire.
Yeah.
You know, tweaking something or being, you know, being the wrong, just not, you know, not thinking, hey, get your butt down, you know, chest up, lift right, instead of just doing it in a hurry. So I kind of got off on a tangent, but
yeah, this is probably opening up a can of worms, but I'm curious about nutrition. That's a big topic. And it's something that I know in the American Fire Service is evolving. I think for our guys or, you know, guys and gals are starting to think more about nutrition. What's your thoughts on it?
Oh, I got a couple hours. I could go on and on about it. So, you know, firemen, a lot of guys have hobbies. A lot of guys are hunters or, whatever it is, my hobby is health and fitness, and nutrition is a huge part of that. Huge part of it. So, my diet is basically I try to eat as much whole foods as I can, limiting the processed stuff. So, a lot of chickens, a lot of good quality meats. I buy a lot of my, you know, when I do my red meat, whether it's hamburger meat or some, I do chuck roast, a lot of grass fed, a lot of potatoes, a lot of organic white rice, a lot of meats and vegetables. I limit the anything. Process. So I don't, my weakness at the fire station is chips and salsa when the guys make it. That I just, cause every time I walk by, I have a couple of chips, but you know, we don't keep junk food in the house. I think just the whole foods diet is pretty much the way to go for just about everybody. You know, whether, you know, there's always talks about whether keto, paleo, you know, high carb, low carb. My goal is just eat real food, you know, shop on the perimeter of the grocery store, stuff without food labels. So, you know, meats and vegetables. It's easy to get. I mean, I say it's easy, but I mean, that's, you know, Oreos taste good. Yeah. Chips and salsa are amazing.
Yeah. I the phrase simple, but not easy
yeah.
comes to mind, right?
Like yeah, that's a good
I seem
one.
To say that a lot in my life.
I like that one,
but it really, you know, the concepts are simple. The execution is hard when you're, you know, when you're running around and you're busy and you're running to and from this and that. The preparation part, I think, takes a certain amount of focus.
Yeah, so I meal prep twice a week, where I will cook, like this morning I'll cook 2 packages of chicken, it's about 6 pounds. That'll get me through the rest of the week. I've got some hamburger meat already cooked up. I cooked a bunch of rice last night. I'll cook some potatoes today. So I have it all in the fridge ready, and I am that guy that brings my food to the fire station. You know,
yeah.
You know, I work at Station 1. They call it the big house. It's in downtown Phoenix. It's, you know, it's a lot of tradition goes on there. So a lot of our day revolves around what we're cooking. And, you know, we've got 3 trucks. We rotate. But there's a lot of tradition. It's Taco Tuesday. It's Fish Fry Friday. It's Sunday brunch. So we have these traditions that have been in place for years that we want to honor and keep going. But I know that fish fry. You know, I make that fish fry. So, you know, when it's our day to cook and I see what goes in there, I'm like, I can't eat it. So I'm the guy who brings my own food. That being said, you know how important chow is and fellowship. I always eat with the guys. I mean, I bring my own food, but I'm going to be in the kitchen helping when it's our time to cook. And when it's time to eat, if the ladder's cooking something that I'm not eating, I'm going to warm my food, and we're all sitting together anyway. So it doesn't matter what's on my plate. As long as I'm with the guys, I'm still getting that fellowship. We're still sitting on the table. You know, we're still talking smack to each other and joking around. It's, you know, I'm not going to isolate myself. And when I do cook, I try to cook healthy food. I try to... You know, on Taco Tuesdays, I'll do street tacos. So I'll do some meat, you know, with some little tortillas on the side so guys can either make a bowl, you know, with plenty of vegetables with it so they can make a bowl or they can have little tacos. But it's not going to be fried tacos in the oil.
Right.
Fish, we're getting really good now. We do our fish fry Fridays. We always leave fish out to bake for some guys. So that kind of stuff, it's, like, again, simple, but not easy. So, right. You know, I like to have options. So even on our cooking days, I'll bring food to supplement with it. I'll bring some extra vegetables, or I'll bring some fresh fruit. I might swap out the meat in one of the meals for some stuff I have. Nutrition is huge. I think it's, you know, if someone came to me and said, hey, you know, they've never exercised, never worked out, never tracked food or anything like that, I'd say, let's clean the diet up first. And then we're going to get moving second. And kind of go from there. I think diet is huge. And you hear people say, you know, abs are made in the kitchen, or, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, and it's true. Yeah, that's my jam, is, you know, try to be healthy with what I put in my body. I'm not going to put in stuff that I know I shouldn't be. And I mean, I'm not perfect. You know, like I said, chips and salsa are my weakness. I walked in last shift, and one of the guys at Engine 1 is like, we're going to make you fat today, Veda. I'm like, why? He's like, all day chips and salsa. I'm like, dang it.
Well, at least the salsa's fresh.
Yeah. Oh, it is so good, too. It is. It's just three or four fresh ingredients.
Vegetables.
Yep,
good,
and it
right?
is so good.
Yeah.
So I'll take a scoop of that, throw my chicken and rice or whatever I'm having that day. But, yeah, the chips are the hard part. Yeah. And, you know, lucky for me, I'm not a big sweet guy, so I don't crave those too much. But my diet is just whole foods. I try to. My wife's the same way. My wife and daughter both have celiac. So, you know, we're eating a lot of gluten-free. You know, they eat just basically meats and vegetables. My daughter doesn't eat as much vegetables as I like. Pretty much just asparagus is her jam. But she eats, you know, she has eggs in the morning. I'll put some fresh ham in there. She'll eat hamburger meat that I buy. So, you know, they eat pretty good. My wife's dialed in, too. She said she can't have gluten. And my daughter can't either. And I've tried to sneak her something before. We were on vacation one year, and I'm like, hey, Cam, you want a cookie? You know, mom was on her own. She goes, okay. 20 minutes later, my wife comes back. She goes, what do you give her? I'm like, why? She goes, look. And the side of her face, she was breaking out in a little rash.
Man,
so, yeah. I mean, it's pretty, yeah, you know, those two have it, you know, it's pretty severe where it's pretty, it makes it easier for us to eat that way as a family. And then on the other hand, I got a almost teenage boy who's just going to try to eat whatever he can.
Right.
He's going to shovel food in his mouth, doesn't care what it is. He's got, you know, his bike. He can ride to the grocery store and buy whatever he wants. So he doesn't eat as clean as I would like. But, you know, our whole family, we do a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah. I think it takes a certain amount of conscientiousness and planning in order to execute that.
Yeah.
And that's something that I personally have struggled with a lot over the years, because I know what's right. I have the knowledge. And the execution of it's where I fall short, right? That lack of the discipline. I will, and I call myself out on it, and I beat myself up about it, because I know what's right. And what's interesting is, while your wife and daughter have some specific ailments that they know that if we do this thing, something's not going to go right for me physiologically, the majority of us, the consequences of our bad habits don't manifest until years later.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is really a scary thought. And I think about that from the sense of diet and working out and all those things. The consequences come down the road, and fighting back, you know, once you've put on 30, 40 pounds, and I've gone through this cycle where I'm really good shape, and then I'm in okay shape, but I don't feel good because I'm not eating right, or I'm not healthy, I'm not training the way I should be training. And that cycle, put on a few pounds and don't feel, you know, you don't feel great. And it's really important that we fight back on that. We really have to be thoughtful and disciplined about what we're doing.
Yep. It goes back, like I keep saying, the older I get, you know, my stuff changes, you know, and I'm kind of more focused on it. I actually had an appointment with my doctor yesterday. I've got a doctor I see a couple times a year. We do a huge blood work panel, and we go over everything. So I can make sure, you know, for some reason this time my vitamin D levels were way low. So, you know, I don't know if it's... No, it's not. I have a different doc. I've been wanting to try HeartFit. I haven't tried that yet. This is a doc I've been seeing for 4 or 5 years. So it's kind of neat to go back over the last 4 years and see, you know, my blood work and where my levels are at. So I try to stay on top of that stuff. Like you said, I don't want to be, you know, 80 years old and realize, oh, man, sick and unhealthy, saying, you know, I could just, through eating clean through my life, I could, you know, have a healthier lifestyle. We're not going to be bedridden. So,
right.
You know, I try to stay on top of it, you know, getting blood work done, you know, working on my sleep, working on my nutrition, and that's my jam. What, you know, I mean, some people think of it as a chore. I don't know if I'm just a geek on it, but I love it. I like, you know, the podcasts I listen to are health and fitness related. You know, the books that I read are all health and fitness related. That's just, I don't know, it's my hobby, I guess. It's kind of a nerdy hobby, but it's also one that hopefully will keep me healthy.
Right. Well, I think if you've been experimenting over the last 12 years, right? As you had, you know, when you're going through this, your journey in CrossFit, and along with that journey is, I think most people would know, is that a nutrition piece, right? So a lot of CrossFitters, one of the big tenets they talk about is nutrition, and so it makes sense that you would go down that path. and recognize the value because you're tinkering with it. And I'm sure you're watching it in other people's lives as well as you're making these recommendations to people you're coaching and then you're seeing the outcomes down the road.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty validating for you.
You know, CrossFit has their hierarchy of, I think it's hierarchy of fitness development. And it's a pyramid. And the bottom of the pyramid is nutrition. So I mean, I think it's the base that we all build on. And you're right. I've seen it, you know, under the gym firsthand of people like, man, I used to have to take medication. I got off them. I used to do this. And, you know, I used to live on diet pills. I don't take those anymore. And it's like,
right.
Awesome. It's just fixing. It's an easy fix, but it's not, you know, it just takes some planning, takes some dedication.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the most important thing we can do, especially if you look at like just the traditional Western diet and, you know, it's everywhere. The obesity rates and the amount of sick people that we have in our society just keeps growing and growing and growing. So that's my goal, is to not be like that. I mean,
the part of the statistics. Yeah, I mean,
you know, you see those, you know, how many 9-year-olds you see that are 300 pounds? Never, you know, I don't know. It's my focus, I guess.
Yeah.
Or obsession, really.
Yeah. Well, we would all do well to have a little bit more of that focus in our life.
And I get shit at work from guys who, like, I still weigh and measure my food. I don't need to. I've been doing it long enough where I can eyeball 6 ounces of chicken within, you know, probably half an ounce. I can eyeball 150 grams of rice or just potatoes. I just get so OCD about it. I want them to, you know, and I used to do it for performance. I was, you know, in the gym, I was always chasing gains, and, you know, I would do a little bit of, I would compete in some fitness competitions. Police and Fire Games I used to do every year. I loved it. You know, so that would be more, I was really obsessed about how I was eating as a reflection of performance, and now it's more of eating as a reflection of my overall health. You know, I had a good talk yesterday with my doctor because some of my numbers were a little off, and I'm like, wow, I wonder if it's just because I've been slacking a little bit. You know, during, you know, we moved, got rid of the gym, I kind of just took it easy for a few months of just not planning my food like I should, and it reflected in my numbers.
Right.
So as of yesterday, I was like, ooh, getting back on it.
Yeah. Dial it back in.
Yeah.
I don't know that most people can be that focused.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to be either. You know, right. I'm the extreme on this end. I think if you find that middle ground.
So if I'm hearing what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if a average person were to say, or just a, you know, dude off the street were saying, hey, we're going to focus on nutrition, it's whole foods, right? And you could probably eat as many vegetables as you want.
Yeah.
And you need to eat, you know, reasonable, you know, a moderate amount. What would you say is a moderate amount of, you know, proteins?
It's a handful.
Chicken and,
yeah, size of your palm, really. If you have protein in every meal, you know, and then healthy fats, you know, olive oils, nuts, seeds, the good, you know, the good fats, the unprocessed, not the canola oils, not the soybean oils, all that, the trans fats. Yeah, whole foods, you know, and if I was someone who was brand new, I'd say, hey, let's just work on eating whole foods. So like you said, a lot of vegetables, a lot of lean meats, good fats. You know, from there, I would progress them to maybe even tracking macro numbers to kind of, you know, make sure you're in a good caloric balance. I mean, we can eat healthy foods, but if you eat 6,000 calories of healthy foods every day, it's going to, you know, it's going to add up.
Too much is still too much.
Absolutely. So I think it's finding that balance. But I mean, for the average person, you know, eat clean whole foods, even, you know, at the fire station, you know, you could eyeball a 5 to 6 ounce piece of meat, you know,
size of your palm, basically.
Yep, size of your palm. Same thing with nuts, you know, maybe a finger or two of, you know, whatever it is. If it's almonds, walnuts, put on your plate, a little bit of olive oil instead of dressing. If it's a salad, and some carbs, you know, I white rice doesn't affect me too much. So I feel good on it. My blood sugar doesn't spike too much with it. So that and potatoes are pretty much my main carbs. I'm not big on like the carb drinks or anything like that. I just stick to food. Keep it simple.
Right on. So the takeaways today are
functional movement.
A functional movement pattern in that's similar. Multimodal is how I would phrase that, right? So you need to work on strength, power, muscular strength, endurance.
Yep. Speed, all of it.
And
agility.
And metabolic conditioning, yep. Right? All those things. And then we need to be training jiu-jitsu. I can sustain that for sure. And then we need to be eating clean whole foods.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Nice.
Keep it simple. I mean, you can, like I said, I think you go down the rabbit hole and get obsessed with it too much. You know, you can go way off, which I do sometimes, but just keep it simple.
Yeah.
Especially if you're just starting out. And, you know, I know how hard it is, especially at the fire station. You know, you get, hey, this is, you want to make a really good meal that, is very unhealthy, but it tastes so good. Like our fish fries, they taste really dang good.
Yeah.
But I feel bad if I eat it. And sometimes I feel bad like the next morning. I wake up and like if I the few times that I've had them or like the next morning I wake up, I'm like I just feel like crap. Yeah. And you pay for it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that feeling.
Well, Brian, I appreciate you taking the time to sit and chat with me. And
oh, it was fun. I loved it. Thank you. I mean, I can keep on going. I love talking about health and fitness and, you know, being ready for duty. And it's my jam.
Right on. Well, maybe we'll sit down and visit again and talk about like maybe some specific workouts or a meal plan or kind of put something together and actually lay it right out.
Oh man.
Right on.
Sleep too. We'll talk about that next time. Sleep is my new focus is just, and I know a lot of that's out of our control at the station, but we can do things to improve that while we're there and away from there. So we can hit that next time. That's nice. my new focus.
I like it. Perfect. Let's do it.
Thank you, Rand. Appreciate it. It was fun.
Thanks, brother.